And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes from, man, from Huntsville way on back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa way on back over to Gadsden. I mean, y'all, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And stretching across the border from there to Fort Benning. I said it, Fort Benning, Georgia. Oh, by the way, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. All right, I got to tell you guys about DeKalb MD Healthcare. So the Grand Council that we just did is brought to you every Wednesday by DeKalb MD. It's a healthcare facility, a direct primary care clinic network with locations in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. Two of those locations are in the Chattanooga region, for those of you on our Chattanooga listening area. This is so cool. You're going to want to know about, Phil, it's a doctor's office. Why do I care? It's not the usual doctor's office. Listen, DeKalb MD, imagine this. You don't have to worry about your insurance card. You just join like a member. It's like joining a gym. $75 a month. Think about it. $75 a month. You get same day or next day scheduling, no wait times, longer visits with your doctor, even after hours access, no additional cost for that, a direct phone number so you can call or text your medical provider. They'll mail medications to your house. DeKalb MD, y'all, they work with you instead of your insurance. I'm just telling you, you need to check this out. It's direct care. It's concierge medical care where you join like a gym or something and you get your medical care taken care of at that point. DeKalb MD, primary care with you in mind. Here's their website, www.dekalbmd.com. Check them out. Schedule an appointment, dekalbmd.com. All right, let me jump on in to, I'm going to skip forward and do, I'm going to save Dipper 2 on the squatting till tomorrow. I'm doing Dipper 3 right now, judicial recusal. A lot of talk out there about the activism of judges. And I'm going to go ahead and say something that I said in my drive time thoughts this morning that are on my social media. You can find those at @SinPhilWilliams or on other places like our Facebook page. I'm an attorney. I love the practice of law. I love the rule of law. I'm a huge fan of both the bench and the bar, and that's what we refer to them as, the bench being the judicial side of the legal world and the bar being the attorneys. And I have friends that sit on the bench, and I have supported people to run for the bench, and I am absolutely of the mind that when someone takes the bench, they don't leave who they are behind. Like a Christian does not stop being a Christian because they're going to sit and be a judge in a courtroom. So what I'm saying is they do bring some of their own principles and ideologies with them. That's the human nature. That's like saying an elected official goes down to Montgomery or up to D.C. They bring with them who they are. And I get that. But the job of a judge is to be objective and to be the arbiter of the law and sometimes even the facts. If there's no jury, the judge is the arbiter of both the facts and the law. So having said that, judges are going to bring some of their own stuff with them, but yet their job is to remain neutral. That's why the statue of justice wears a blindfold. You got to maintain that objectivity. And I've known judges who I know where they are on certain things, and yet they do a great job of maintaining their objectivity. But we're also seeing judges who can't. When a judge comes into the courtroom and they already have a predisposition towards something, or they already have an ideology that conflicts with the case, or they already have a financial stake in the outcome, they should automatically recuse. They should. And a judge can do that. A judge can issue an order saying, for good cause shown, I hereby recuse. They don't even have to name it. They can just say that they know something's out there and they don't want to disclose it, but they have no choice but to recuse. And you know what? It can be frustrating. I had one judge recuse from a case that I've had going on for quite a while, and he realized a connection he didn't know he had and decided he had to recuse, or a conflict arose during the pendency of the action. But in the very beginning of a case, when a judge knows full well that they have a conflict, they have an ethical obligation to recuse themselves. But here's the other piece. You don't have to wait. While recusal can be certainly in the hands of the judge themselves, the parties in the case can move to have that judge recuse and put it on the record that they believe there's a conflict and it needs to be addressed. Let's talk about these federal district court judges. Let me give you an example. I've got a couple of cases. I'll tell you, I pulled this one right here. I pulled this off of social media. Someone named Natalie Winters, who I follow on social media, had a piece that came out just this morning, I believe. No, I take it back. Came out about a week or two ago. It turns out that one of the judges, the federal district court judges, who is trying to ban Trump's ability to conduct ICE raids and round up illegal aliens, that judge is married to a open borders activist. Oh, wait, what? Yes. So that judge goes home every night knowing full well he's got a case in front of him, which he has a wife who works for an organization called the National Immigration Forum, an organization that is notoriously pro-open borders, an organization for which she gets paid to be a member. Oh, by the way, they're also supported by George Soros. What I'm saying here is suddenly you realize you've got someone on the bench who may have a personal conflict because in their own family, and I don't know if he believes everything his wife believes, but he has a close enough nexus to her to where this could raise some measure of levels of impropriety.
See, when I saw that, my first reaction was, there's no way. That's too ridiculous to be true. But then it is true. You think, so it didn't even cross that judge's mind that they should he should recuse himself from that. So I guess it requires faith in the judges to have some integrity, maybe. Which I'm saying not all judges don't have integrity, but if they're activist judges like that, I think they're just going to be like, you know, who cares?
And some of them are like, who cares? Some of them are absolutely, who cares? And they're just doing their thing because this is their chance. And some of them are staying on it because they want to fight the issue.
Yeah.
And that's not their job.
Exactly. They're not activists.
They're not supposed to be activists. Here's the thing. 28 U.S. Code Section 455, that is the actual federal code that allows for a party to file what's known as a motion to recuse. Why is this important? Because I'm not seeing it right now. Here's my suggestion. If I were on the Trump legal team, which I'm not, I'm probably not a smart enough lawyer to be on the Trump legal team, but the reality is every once in a while I know a little something and I think of it and I think, why isn't somebody doing this? If I'm looking at this social media right here and I can see very clearly that a social media influencer is able to do a quick search on LinkedIn and find out that the wife of the judge who is dealing with the ICE raids is absolutely an open borders activist calling for things like mass amnesty and opposing border enforcement policies, then I have to look at it and go, well, then the Trump team can figure that out too. You're not allowed to go forum shopping. You're not allowed to go pick your judge. You can't call the clerk and say, hey, make sure you sign it to Judge Smith because I really like him. He's favorable to me. He supports my kid's soccer team. You can't do that. You take whatever judge is assigned to your case. But once you know who the judge is, go to work. Go to work and do the quick research and find out anything you can about that judge's background. Because what we're seeing right now, where's that case? I've got the story right here. Here it is. I pulled this off of Fox News. Talked about it briefly yesterday. Did you know that Trump's first administration had 64 judicial injunctions against his policies that were, and literally a bunch of those, 64 of those were nationwide. And there were only 32 against the entire Bush administration for 8 years. Trump had 64 in 4 years. Obama and Biden collectively don't even add up to what Trump has had in the first 60 days of this administration. So we're looking at an absolute predilection of the federal bench against the Trump administration, it would seem. So now what I'm suggesting is this. Every time one of these things gets assigned to the ACLU or whoever challenges it and it goes to court, then immediately, using the auspices of 28 U.S. Code Section 455, the Trump legal team needs to start researching that judge and that judge's immediate family, that judge's campaign donations, that judge's social media. Get in there and find out all you can, and if you see something that concerns you, file a motion to recuse. Here's the basis for which you do it. And by the way, it's not always absolute. It can be the appearance as being enough. Because the recusal is literally designed to promote confidence in judiciary. It's not just to protect the parties. It's to promote the public confidence in the judiciary's ability to act. People are people. Sometimes they're going to come in with their ideologies, and it may be not on every case. They can try a capital murder case just fine, but they can't try a Trump ICE case. You get it? So the things that you look for are, can they be impartial? Well, that's basically just where their impartiality might be reasonably questioned. That's what the law says, that it might be reasonably questioned. Like they have a financial bias or a personal bias or a prior involvement with somebody. That they can't be objective anymore. Well, if they can't be objective, it's the standard is whether a reasonable person would question their impartiality. So it's not that you've proven that they're not impartial. It's that you can reasonably question that they're impartial. How about this? That they literally are deemed to be something, to have an appearance that could jeopardize the decision on the merits. Like, you're not sure where they're going to go with it. You're not sure they're going to interpret the law on this. And it doesn't have to do with all their prior case rulings. We're talking about things in their personal life as much as anything. And when that happens, you file the motion promptly. The law even says you file the motion promptly. You don't wait till the merits of the case are being determined. You file it promptly and get a chance to get it out of that courtroom if at all possible. You may have to file an affidavit with it that says why you believe under sworn oath that this is the case. And you file it specifically and you get it done quickly. And then, get this, the judge who is the subject of the recusal is not the one who gets to decide once the motion has been filed. It has to be decided by another judge. That's the way I think it ought to be handled. I think literally going forward, the number of injunctions we're seeing against Trump clearly indicate that there is bias. There's no way around it. Some might say, well, I think it's because Trump's just filing a lot of bad stuff and we have to fight it. No, it's Trump derangement syndrome. And it's activist judges who were appointed by Obama and Biden. You're not seeing a lot of conservative jurists who are agreeing with this. And I'm not saying that we should seek out the judge we want, but what I'm saying is we should get out of the courtrooms of the judges we definitely don't want. Because if they can't promote the appearance of impartiality, just the reasonable appearance of impartiality, then federal law says you can file a motion to recuse and get out. Recusal just means the case doesn't go away. It means it gets assigned to a new judge. And then you start all over again. That's where I think we ought to be. I just think it's reasonable. What you got?
And I hope that we could live in a world where judges would recuse themselves if they knew there was bias. But I think that's completely out of the window with these judges.
And I think some of it definitely is.
So I think it's, like you said, it's upon the Trump team to see them and do their research. But part of me does think that, are they hoping that they will, maybe not hoping is the word, but I think they're okay if they rule with that, because I think they have confidence that they'll win in the Supreme Court, and it's almost like they want these rulings to happen so that the Supreme Court can set the precedent moving forward, and they kind of do the work for them. Maybe that's part of their strategy. But at the same time, I hope that the Trump legal team isn't just letting these conflict of interest that these judges have go under, you know, the radar, and they're just not noticing them.
I think you make a perfect point. There are times when you pick the fight to get to the next fight.
Yeah.
And to some extent, that is what's happening. But some of these things are also immediate. Some of these things are like, we're trying to get MS-13 guys to El Salvador yesterday. Some of these things are like transgenders in the military. Some of these things are like, we just let 10,000 employees at USAID go. We don't want to hire them back. So some of these things, I think, yeah, we could pick the fight in order to get to the next fight at SCOTUS and see what we can get long term. But others, I'm thinking we need to just get a new judge and make sure we're getting an objective determination of our case. All right, we're taking a break. Last break of the day. Go home time on hump day, you guys. This week is flying by. I'll come back and get some text messages and clean it up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.